think I did.
So she did a PR on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Part of.
When I was in high school, I was there. I think our team was 7 people.
Oh, yeah.
But we had a team of
5.
Well, no.
You can do it on the other.
Well, let's see, they have the telephone interviews with 5 candidates for I had nothing to do with that, but I talked to Toby this morning, so today was the day. The window went down from 5 to 3. This guy comes in at 5. I doubt if he'll make it.
I don't know. I'm sure I very it's kind of like, where are we on sustainability? This was at city council's room.
Well, here's what's really funny.
Okay, that's really funny. That's where we're starting.
If you can ask me, so.
Everyone take their seats, please. I'm going to call this meeting of the City of Newport Budget Committee in session. I want to thank the committee members, both those that are on the budget committee representing the civilian population and those who are elected officials representing the city council, for their service to the city. It's always nice to have people step forward and do a job that is sometimes not highly praised. Thank you very much for your service and help. Let's get through our session tonight. We are beginning on time. We will take a break around 7:05, and we will hit the gavel at 8:30 and adjourn the meeting at that time if we're in the middle of a sentence. We will start tonight by having a open floor public comment. Is there anyone here who would like to make any public comment, a brief comment for the Budget Committee? Would you please come up and enjoy that wonderful chair that we saved a lot of money on, so you don't have to worry about us overspending on that thing.
All right. Thank you. Good evening, Budget Committee. My name is Allison Robertson. My address is 2124 Northeast Reef, Lincoln City. I'm on the board of the Lincoln Community Land Trust, or the LCLT. My day job is I work with the Urban Renewal District in Lincoln City, just up the street. I'm following up on an April presentation and membership request made to City Council by Benjamin Baggett, Lincoln Community Land Trust Director, and Commissioner Bill Hall, who serves as our board chair. The LCLT provides permanently affordable housing, workforce housing, throughout Lincoln County as a means of making quality homes available for purchase that average working families can actually afford. We are all aware of the high median home price our county affords, our county maintains, which is great for many reasons, but the average working person makes it hard to achieve the dream of home ownership and still save for retirement or other things. The model we use makes homes affordable by selling the home without the cost of the land, because it stays actually in the land trust. We are addressing workforce housing to the average working family. These are folks whose incomes are between 60 to 120% of the median family income for Lincoln County, and that translates for a family of two to $25,000 to $48,000 per year. For a family of four, it's roughly $30,000 to $60,000 per year. So who is that in our immediate community? Many of these people work at our schools, hospitals, restaurants, banks, at the aquarium, at the city or county offices, and the list goes on. We all know someone that commutes from another city to work. That is a choice for some, but for others it really isn't if they want to have the opportunities that their incomes can afford without putting it all into a home. This gap that we seek to fill spans the difference in low wages and high home prices, which actually causes many to live where they can afford to or use the drive until you can buy approach to home ownership. This robs our local communities in Lincoln County of residents who earn a living but take their paychecks home to buy groceries, go to the movies, and contribute to another community in their free time. It also creates an unfair burden on people to spend great time and expense on commuting, transportation and fuel costs, and increases wear and tear on our roads and our quality of life. The LCLT does have one home on the market in Lincoln City. We have had interest in the home, and currently two families are seeking pre-approval. We also have a site for new construction, which we will be pursuing after our first home sells. The LCLT is partnering with Newport, Lincoln City, and the county on a housing needs assessment that will be completed later this summer. We do have a website, which is lincolnclt.org, and the 2010 annual report can be viewed or downloaded there. I respectfully request that you budget funds to provide the opportunity for the City of Newport to become a member of the Lincoln Community Land Trust. Thank you for your time. I'll leave some brochures with Peggy.
Can we ask questions?
Mm-hmm. Yes. What would be the major benefit for the City of Newport?
Well, as you may know, for any entity trying to do good things, the benefit would be greater capacity for us to carry out creating more homes. So, and that can be with, renovation of existing homes, which is what our first home in Lincoln City was, through Neighborhood Stabilization Program. So we had NSP dollars that bought a home that was in foreclosure, renovated that home, and now that home's on the market. So there are lots of different things besides new construction that we can get more homes on the ground.
Dr. Bielma?
What's your goal as far as how many new homes, not necessarily new, but rehabbed or new homes per year?
That's a great question. And a couple of years ago when, we were just formulating the group, I think it was about 3 to 5 for the first 2 or 3 years. As you know, each year, the real estate market changes, the economy changes, our availability of funds change, just in terms of grants that we can apply for. So, that's our goal, and right now we have one on the market. So
you have one full-time employee?
One part-time employee.
He's only a part.
Yes.
Just part-time?
Yes.
What does he cost per year? I'm talking about his wage, I'm talking about his total cost per year, benefits, et cetera.
Yeah, I don't have a price on that. I could find out and get it to you. He is employed through the Community Services Consortium, and they are a huge supporter.
I'm looking at cost-benefit ratio. He costs a certain amount. What do you produce for that? It's
sure.
As simple as that.
If I might, Derek Tokos, Newport Community Development Director. I am a board member of the Land Trust, but I'm speaking as the city's Community Development Director. As many are aware, particularly council members, that the Planning Commission had and the Technical Advisory Committee have been working on a housing needs and buildable lands assessment for the last 6 months. It's an update to the city's comprehensive plan. The city does have an obligation to provide for a diverse mix of billable residential land, and it does have obligations to do what it can to facilitate workforce housing, things of that nature. The city council is likely to see some recommendations by July of this year related to that study, and one of the recommendations is likely to be the creation of a housing fund to create a small pool of funds for entities like the Land Trust or the Housing Authority who would be partners with the city. Now, there are other recommendations as well, such as creating a land bank using residential properties the city has in its inventory. to facilitate the creation of workforce housing and making those lands available with strings attached that they that the homes that are constructed on those residential parcels are affordable. And so the challenge, and just a thought to put out here, is if we don't create, I mean, we have an opportunity to create a housing fund now. Granted, it would be before the recommendation actually is made to the city council. But if we don't create that fund now, and that type of policy is ultimately adopted by the city council in a couple months, and we have to wait 10 months before we can really get that going. And so we're kind of in a quandary there. But I did want to put out that, you know, as a budget committee, you might want to consider putting in place a fund of that nature and put some seed money, I don't know, $5,000-$10,000, something not a huge amount, but a modest amount. And then, you know, if those recommendations are put in place, then we at least have something to work with next fiscal year. If that recommendation is ultimately not adopted, well, then those funds are not expended. So just something to think about.
I don't have a problem with the fact it's a good idea. I'd like to see get the best bang for the buck.
Sure. No, I hear you.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my impression that owning a fair amount of real estate and having built a few things, one of our biggest problems here is places to build. I mean, there's not a hell of a lot of lots out there available.
And what we do have a lot of terrain, you know, terrain constraint, which means it costs more to do it. But one of the issues we have is we have a lot of vacation homes, and this is coming right out of that housing study. We are trending worse than the state in terms of the difference between affordability of homes and what our workforce makes. And so it will become an issue for our economy, because, you know, our businesses aren't going to be able to attract workers if they can't afford to live within reasonable distance of the community, or ideally in the community.
It is an issue for our city, and we're real well aware of it. Mm-hmm. Any other questions you have here?
Just one quick. I'm a bit puzzled because I've not heard of your organization before, and you're attempting to set up homes for people to buy.
Yes.
But yet you want to keep the land in a trust.
Yes.
And yet you're flipping a house. You've got one on the market, you said.
We do have one on the market.
Are you just changing your real estate holdings to find the ideal location, or what's the
No. The homeowner has a 99-year lease with the land trust. That can be renewable, it can be inheritable. The person who owns the home can choose to sell the home at any time, and if that home does sell, it has to go to another qualified buyer. So that's a permanent affordability through a land covenant.
So the land always is
belongs to the land
trust.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have had a public hearing for public comment, and we take it that you would like us to create a housing fund in the range of $5,000 to $10,000, and something that the budget committee will take under consideration, but just not right at this next 5-minute period. All right.
No problem.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. We are going to move on, and we are going to take roll, and then we're going to approve the minutes that we have delayed, so that everybody can have a chance to take a look at them. Dean Sawyer, not here. Jack Wild.
Yep.
Sandy.
Here.
Janet.
Here.
Juan.
Here.
Fred.
Here.
Mark.
Here.
Robert. Here. Jeff.
Here.
Chuck.
Here.
Dick.
Nope.
Ole.
Here.
David. Not here. Don.
Here.
Jim. David Marshall. Okay, we're all here. Looks like we've got that done. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes? We have three sections. Do we do them all at once or one at a time?
Four sections. I move we adopt the approve the minutes from the four sessions from the 2010 budget.
With the changes that have been identified for Peggy Hawker from David Allen.
Correct.
It has been moved. We have a second. We have a second. Dick Beamer. It has been moved and seconded that we accept the minutes with the changes that have been recorded with the city recorder. All in favor of this, say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Unanimous, I love it. All right, one vote of comment, please. If I'm out of step on this, Jim, over to you, Tommy, okay? I noticed that Toby's here tonight. Toby's been heavily tasked all day long interviewing people and everything. Toby, I know you love the Budget Committee and everything, but feel free if you need to leave a little earlier, do so, okay? Because you don't need to sit around all night if there are no questions and asked of you. And I noticed that Ted Smith is here, and we've been through your section of the budget as well, Ted, so you use that, whatever you'd like to do. And I know Lee will be here for the street fund, but anytime anyone needs to leave, don't feel that, you know, you're feeling bad about your leaving, okay? I want you to make that clear. I turn the meeting over to David Marshall. We're going to have a review of the community development grants. Does that include the debt service fund?
No.
All right.
No, and I'd like to make other suggestions.
If I may, maybe I can get this thing on. Can you hear me? Is this working? Yes. I have several things beyond just the community development grant. Derek is here, and he asked me to mention the public parking fund because we have individuals in the audience who'd like to talk about it. The preliminary or draft agenda that I sent you didn't include several funds, of which the public parking fund is one of them. And I tended to focus on what I thought would be the major funds where the majority of the money and or activity actually resides. The public parking fund is not one of them. It doesn't make it an unimportant fund, but it was one that I thought we might want to do next week. My recommendation, Dr. Smith, is that the public parking fund, with people in the audience and with Derek here to talk about it, might be a good way to start that meeting. And so I ask if you would do that, please.
All right, let's open up the floor to public comment for any individuals who would like to address that issue.
The public parking fund is on pages 101 to 104 in your
thank you. 101 to 104. I'm looking. I'm coming close. This. Is that in a new handout?
No, it's way back in the back.
Oh, public parking fund. There it is. Nice. Okay. Let's keep it straight. Okay, fire away.
I'm Wendy Engler, 715 Northwest 3rd Street in Newport. And Derek has been working with us on our getting our budget all prepared. We've worked really hard to try to make the best use of our dollars, and we're really excited about getting some more parking spaces and more visibility for what we've got.
Yeah, what you'll find that's a little bit different than prior years is we now have two parking districts that are represented in the budget where we didn't have them in the past, one for Night Beach and one for City Center, and we still have the general public parking fund, which has been there for a number of years, and that's where the payment in lieu of funds go. So I think the gist of it is, and I think Wendy and Kathy and Linda are here just to let you know that we have been working with them. The projects that are reflected in this budget are projects that at least for the Night Beach folks been worked through with the Night Beach Parking District Advisory Committee. The same goes for the City Center and the projects that were put together for them.
And what do we use this fund for? What is it, $3,500?
Well, if you're looking at $3,500, you're looking at City Center. And essentially what you have is for the Nye Beach District, you know, you've got, looks like $13,600, and for City Center, $3,500. Those are funds that they generate through business license surcharges within their districts, and those funds would have to be spent within the districts. Now, some of the projects they put together also tap the general parking fund, which they can do. And so that's the other sheet that you have here.
All right, fine. Are there some questions that people from the committee would like to ask? Yes, ma'am.
On the proposed, the general
public, there's a transfer out of capital projects,
$102,000. That's correct.
What are those for?
That is for three projects. Two of them are in the Nye Beach Parking District. That you've got the you got lighting and sidewalk construction along Northwest 3rd. So the lighting would be $14,000. The sidewalk construction along Northwest 3rd and Northwest 6th is $81,500, and that's 50% of the total. The other 50% is coming from street SDCs. And then there's $6,600, which is matched up with the $3,500 coming out of City Center for a slurry seal on the 9th and Herbert parking lot and restriping of that parking lot.
So I guess this is maybe a question for David. Why, if those are, I realize they're going to capital projects, but they don't get reflected in the 90 district's expenditures. So does that, I mean, to me, I'm trying to keep all the parking stuff together because, you know, there is some disagreement, perhaps, on how the pot of money should be divvied up that has accumulated over the last 20 years since the Bayfront does not have a district yet and that's been put on hold.
Right.
And that's where most of the money has been generated. So it's, I realize I'm biased, but I do want to think that there's still going to be something left there if there is a district that is formed in on the Bayfront, which was where most of that money came from.
Mm-hmm.
So the $101,000 is a fairly large part of that, $300,000 or so that's in the pot. So do you see this as a one-time transfer out to Nye Beach on capital project?
You know, that leaves about what, $250,000 or so, in the public parking fund, and that's really a policy call, the city council. I can't say whether or not in future years Nye Beach is going to come back with another project. For example,
they're only doing the planning year by year. There's not a larger strategic plan, which is what the Bayfront was asked to do in terms of a kind of a panoply of projects that were put out there. So does Nye Beach have like a five-year?
Janet?
Yeah.
Yes, I have. We do. We did come up with like our immediate priorities, and we have lots of big projects, including we'd like to put a multi-story parking structure at the turnaround. But whether or not, that's just our pipe dream. But we do, we were working really hard to get our priorities straight for this year, and then we made a wish list. And when we meet again in June, if the budget committee would like to see it prioritized, we could.
I agree with Derek. It's a policy issue for the city council. I'm just, as an interested committee member and also a member of the Bayfront, I obviously have an oar in this water.
After an hour and a half of testimony the other night from the Bayfront folks and a resounding agreement from those folks in the audience that they felt like they should have access to all the money that they have so far put into it, the parking, what I would like to see is the total that we have available to us is $252,000. Is that correct?
No.
It's
three something.
$314,000.
Okay, well, whatever. I mean, to me, we ought to see how that's actually been divided up, how that's been accumulated, who's put the money in. I don't think it'd be that hard to figure out, would it, to figure out who's put how much in from each of the areas doing in lieu of parking?
You know, we can put together a general sense of that. Yeah. I mean, it would be challenging to try to come up with every dollar that's been paid since 82. But I don't think that this proposal would be inconsistent. But as Janet pointed out, it's not going to leave opportunities for the Nye Beach to continue to come back after additional parking funds without that proportion getting out of whack.
So you don't think the $102,000 is out of proportion for what Nye Beach has put
in? It's in the ballpark. I mean, it's eaten up about everything that Nye Beach would have put into it.
Part of it's going to City Center too, to 9th and Herbert.
And that's probably comparable to what City Center's put in. They haven't put in a lot of money, but they're only asking for $6,600, and they have had one business put in a considerable amount. So, you know.
And these new budget seats just represent the the expected income based on the new parking districts.
Correct. Okay. Right. That's why City Center is only 3,500, because that's what they put in terms of their surcharge. Nye Beaches is higher.
Like Janet, I'm an interested citizen when it becomes part of the Bayfront district that has yet to be formed. And with your indulgence, Chairman, I'm wondering if, since you have been through the process of organizing a district, could you give us a short narrative on how that worked for you, how Nye Beach and City Center?
No, Zach, I really don't want to do that. That's not the issue at hand here. Really, well, it isn't for the Budget Committee. Well, the issue at hand is the proposal that you have in front of you. Is there a particular item on the funding project that you want to address, rather than just an overall view of how they run the mechanics of the operation?
Well, I guess indirectly, yes. I would like to know how this money was even allocated. I mean, where the money came from. Was it parking permits? Was it generated by the police department?
David, where did the money come from?
Derek, I can take that.
Derek, is it getting?
Okay. Sure, not a problem. The what you'll find in here is that a portion of that comes from the business license surcharges from each district. It's a small portion, but you have about 13,000 of that is coming for Nye Beach, for example. That's covering one of their major projects. But two of their other projects, the sidewalk and lighting on 3rd, and then the sidewalk on 6th, is coming entirely out of the public parking fund. Okay. For City Center, they have one major project, and their major project is getting a slurry seal on that 9th and Herbert lot, and that 9th and Herbert lot restriped. And that's going to run a little over $10,000, and they're applying all of their 3,500 from their business license surcharge to that, and then they're looking for like 6,600 from the public parking fund.
And why would that money be taken out of the parking fund?
Well, the public parking
part of the city maintenance department.
Well, no, the public parking fund has been accruing over the years. The money that goes into the public parking fund is from payment in lieu from the three different districts: City Center, Nye Beach, and Bayfront. And that, you know, those funds have been expended over the years on a variety of different parking projects or parking-related projects. And so what you have before you is a proposal from Nye Beach for the two sidewalk projects, and that's 50% of the funding. The other half would come from SDCs, and that's the maximum that can come from the street SDCs is 50% on those projects.
Do you know what the parking in lieu of fee is? Do you know what the in lieu of
payment
fee is?
Payment.
Payment. Payment. It comes from businesses.
I'm just wondering why there's this distinction between what is involved with the maintenance of the parking and why there's not a line item in the city maintenance department that takes care of that. I mean,
for like the parking lot?
Yeah. I mean, why? Isn't it a city function to supply water as it is to supply parking? I don't know.
Well, I think there are certainly a certain amount of funds that are set aside for general striping and maintenance, but what the parking districts would like to see exceeds what the city's able to do when it's normal, you know, budgeting framework. And so these are economic improvement districts, and so they certainly can put together projects to expedite some of this work, and the public parking fund can be used for that purpose. The city doesn't have the city crews go through and they update striping of parallel parking spaces, for example, along the streets, and they have a program for that. But that program is not funded and staffed to the point where they can make all of these changes at the pace at which some of the business districts would like to see them. And so their parking district funds can be used to expedite that.
Okay.
that 9th and Herbert project, for example, will probably not be done by city crews as budgeted. So it's an additional project that we'll be able to get done that we would not otherwise be able to do with just city staff.
So give me a bottom line. We want to expedite dollars. You're asking for the public parking fund. Once again, you want to take how much?
Well, you're looking at 102. Well, say a little bit more than that. 102 goes to the.
Page 101 shows a transfer to that gives us an opportunity to make a discussion of that appropriation. Is there anything else you need to add to this?
Well, what I would like to say is the two sidewalks weren't a part of our plan until recently. But those two sidewalks are an important link in the city's transportation system plan. They're really a one-time thing. And Janet, I really do see that is a one-time request, I think, that we would come up with just as that chunk out of the general fund. But it's so important providing for visitors, residents, school kids, because the sidewalk up 3rd Street is going to go up to Highway 101, which then ODOT is now working on a link that would take it across on 4th to the high school. And 6th Street is a really hazardous street with the skateboard park and pedestrians trying to walk up there. I mean, it would be a huge benefit, not just to the merchants, but to all the residents and visitors. And so we're kind of going for broke on that one, going all the way up to 101, which is actually out of the Nye Beach District. But I think that would be a huge benefit. Then the other projects are basically extra striping, which in the past we've had trouble getting places striped that have never been striped before, like up 3rd Street, the east of High, going on up to Highway 101. So our requests involve some striping for that. And signs in front of businesses. We want 3-hour parking because a big problem, there's kind of been two big problems. One is merchants parking in front of their business or other people's businesses. And so we want some time parking so that the employees will park someplace else. Then when we get the new striping up 3rd Street, along with some lighting, which is a pretty big expense, but it would be decorative lighting that would be very inviting, and we want to get employees and customers parking up 3rd Street. And right now it's very poorly used. It's very, very poorly lit at night. Like in the winter, people will not park there when it's dark. So really the main, I think it's $14,000 for the lighting, then about $8,000 for the striping, the signage, and
is this so sidewalk, that's one side sidewalk all the way from 101 down to Nye Beach?
Yeah, north side.
North side.
North side on 3rd.
Both 3rd.
And 6th would probably be the south side on 6th because we've got some slope issues on the north side.
101 all the way down.
Okay. Yep.
Yep, it'll be all the way down, but be good access to the library. And I mean, people use that 3rd Street all the time, but they're walking in the middle of the street right now. Mothers and kids in strollers and.
All right, very good. So. Well, we have the information that we need. Do we have? Yes, sir, Chuck.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of refer to last year's budget. I believe last year's budget had a project that the Bayfront was looking to do in the form of the Abbey Street parking lot expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably be carried forward into this year's budget. But there was some cost issues relative to that project. Is Lee in here?
It was. Oh, you got a telephone call.
The Bayfront Association has looked to form our parking district, and the hub of our parking district was going to be this Abbey Street construction project. So in the last 2 years, each year the budget has reflected $150,000 to $125,000 for that project, and it was removed from this year's budget Partially, I guess, because we don't have a formalized parking district formed, and partially because the budget for that particular project was more than was anticipated. But in forming our district down there, one of the things that we've been touting to our fellow merchants and business owners down there is that this parking in lieu of fund exists. We've always been under the impression that there are $350,000 in it, and that when our district was formed, we would be able to take our prorated portion of it and move forward with a large infrastructure project. And I'm just wondering whether or not we could get a better idea of that allocation percentage, how that, you said, it's pretty much takes care of all of what you believe Night Beach has put in over the years. However, that having been said, it would be nice to have a little bit better idea there. And then I'd ask Lee at one time what a revised budget for that Abbey Street parking lot project was, and wondered if you have anything along those lines. Lee and I talked about this prior to last budget meeting.
And I haven't looked it up exactly, but as I recall, it was we had $250,000 in the budget this last year, and that wasn't enough to do it. There were actually two levels that could be done. One of them was a little bit created fewer parking spaces than the other, and the one was would be about 325, as I recall, and the other one was about 500 and over 500,000. I may be off on those numbers, but those are the ranges.
I guess the question as far as the budget goes, my question would be, it's not in an unappropriated column, so let's say the Bayfront gets together sometime and then they maybe reduce the project size of Abbey Street. Is that possible then to transfer or do amended budget after sometime in the future year?
Going from where to where?
Well, I mean, you've got 300, you'll have 200,000 left in the street, in this fund that won't be allocated towards capital projects, and I'm not sure where it rests, but if something were to come forward, and I don't know if they get it all done in 1 year, but what would happen?
What page are you looking at?
Oh, 101.
101. You're looking at 241,000 beginning fund balance? Is that true?
Well, if you're taking 105,600 out of that, the balance would be in that allocated fund.
So, Jeff, there's a contingency of 122,000, so...
It'll be on the bottom?
Yeah, the contingency is the one where you have some
flexibility.
So the concerns that people are raising that you it's not like you can't do it. It's allocated into contingency.
Contingency requires formal action on the board as opposed to a regular expense account in which you just set up to the budget limit.
Okay.
But it is certainly available. It's just another appropriated expense.
All right.
So all of the money in the general parking fund will be available for projects if groups get them put together.
Why the Nye Beach Parking Committee would welcome some guidelines and parameters, like, because it's a brand new committee. We were the first ones to form our parking group, and we didn't really know how much we had.
Well, I'm okay with what you're asking for. I just want to make sure that people understand that there's ways to do something.
Uh-huh, and I think to have it laid out would be great, to have all the numbers for who's contributed what would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you understand that the way the other folks... Both
totally. Yeah, we
paying,
do.
They've been paying this fee all
we
this
do.
Time, and nothing was ever done with the money. It's all just sitting here. So that's the idea.
Right, and we completely understand that, and that sidewalk was Derek's idea towards the end of our process. But I think it's a really worthy project. Maybe there could be some other sidewalk money in from another fund, not just the parking fund, because it does go way beyond the Nye Beach Parking Fund. Our guideline ends at Herbert, and that sidewalks are going up to 101.
You said you're going to use SDC monies too, right?
Yeah, 50% of that's SDC.
And 6th Street isn't even in the parking district.
What is the geographic? So all this is within your geographic footprint of your district, all the improvements are?
No.
No, the sidewalks go out, but they help, but they will definitely enhance the walk and.
Where does the district end going east?
Herbert.
It just
actually, it might end at, I think it ends at Herbert.
Did you ever think about collaborating your funds with other funds to kind of leverage your funds mm-hmm. into some other areas and not, you know, take it all out into a parking? It would be nice to see the money spent in the district. I understand the connectivity issue, but it seems like when there's that much of a connectivity issue, perhaps some combination of funds from different areas, mm-hmm. not just in lieu of, would be appropriate, and that would keep that in lieu of fund a little stronger and allow that money to be used in a leveraged fashion by other parties.
Well, remember, the sidewalk work is 50% out of the parking fund, 50% out of street SDCs. So there, it is being leveraged, and that's the maximum that we can do that. The Third Street work is a priority SDC project. You know, street SDCs include sidewalk work in our SDC formula, and Third Street is a priority project.
Yeah, I guess I don't understand the total breakdown, so maybe I get more detail later on that.
All right, thank you.
Can I ask one more quick question, please?
One more question.
This fiscal year, we have $175,000 for capital improvement projects. This fiscal year. It says on page 101, it says $175,000 for capital improvement projects. Has that money been spent, and where, if it has been, where was it spent, or is it being spent?
I can't answer that without guessing. I'm not going to guess. In other words, the adopted budget said that there would be a transfer to capital projects of $175,000. The budget itself said that there would be $21 million transferred to capital projects. We have not done that because we spent less than $8 million. So all of this says is this is adopted budget. There's no actual expenses showing here. Now, I could find out how much of that has been transferred, but I don't know off the top of my head.
It was $125,000 was for the share of the Abbey Street project, and then there was a $50,000 lump sum that was set aside for projects that, if any of the parking districts got organized, that was just kind of a pool of funds that was available. We just didn't have any parking districts get organized and get projects
pulled
together.
Spent that?
So it was not spent.
It carries forward,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Well, yes, it carries, yes and no. It will carry forward if it's identified in the fiscal year 12 budget to have carried forward in the beginning fund balance, mm-hmm. yes. We're estimating a beginning fund balance in the capital projects fund of about $7.3 million. Much of that, $8 million or more, is the water treatment plant. So it's a complex issue, and that's why I'm hoping the capital projects fund will not be discussed tonight, but next week, because it's going to take a fair amount of time to get through it.
It would be my personal opinion that that money, that $175,000, should stay inside this fund.
Yeah. Well, and it can. I don't know offhand that it has, because okay. I don't know what's been spent for those particular projects.
But you're going to address that next week.
Sure.
All right. Make sure that we do, because this is a very important topic, and the request is to expedite these dollars, and we want to do that. Thank you very much, folks, for your
thank you.
Support and your presentation. Thank you, Lee. We're now going back to David on community development grants. Is that correct, David?
Yes, I'll be there in just a
second. Fine.
And this will go rapidly, because the intention from the city manager was that we would simply make sure you were updated on items you asked last week. One of them was about Derek's $35,000 in community development grants. I sent you his response in an email either yesterday or Saturday so that you have information from him, because he's far more knowledgeable than I am on those three particular grants. So you have that information. Councilor Alan asked about revenue codes. He wanted a breakout of all revenue codes out of this budget. I have started on that. I have not finished. It will, hopefully I'll be finished by next week. It is not critical at all to either the approval or the adoption of the budget, but I will have that. I got the majority of it done, which was the general fund. The most critical item, and as we indicated last week, is that this proposed budget is a working document.
What you have here is,
I'll call it the transition
from volume one of the proposed budget to volume two.
The first sheet is, I'll call it an errata sheet, although it's more than that. There are 17 items that needed correction, updating, revision, or any other adjective that you might consider. Some of them were formula errors. There's over 200 pages of formulas in this document. Sometimes they break down, probably just inferior Excel work on my part. What can I say? So as I go through the document, if I find that there has been a formula error or a link that's been broken, I fix that. There was one very large one in our favor. About halfway down the errata page, which is page two, you'll see a number in green that's $514,000 wastewater treatment plant. I'd understated the amount for the wastewater treatment plant by that amount. It was simply a formula error. So I go through this document constantly looking for those type of things. It's also the reason that if I make an error in the other direction, I strongly recommend that the council, when the new budget year starts, does not do anything with regard to beginning fund balances until we have an audit, because this is a complex document to do in Excel and I make mistakes. The intention, however, of the errata page is simply to show you corrections that have been made. Then lines 18 and lines 19 basically impacted the budget considerably, not substantially or not in total, but we had a interesting meeting on the Capital Projects Fund, which is a considerably different fund than it was this year. And we did that last Thursday, and changes there impact most of the other funds. And so I just indicated that the Capital Projects Fund has impacted the other, and it's in all those sheets that you have. You'll notice those sheets, which start with 9A, simply is a way for you to indicate that 9A should be inserted into your document ahead of 9. And that's true for everything else. And I just hand wrote it in because basically running out of time. So the 17 errors, recalculations, revisions are all in the changes you have in front of you. The change to the Capital Projects Fund, which impacts almost every fund, also is in there. And then the last one, which is just as important but far more obscure, is something called services provided to, when the general fund, and I'll just choose myself, when the general fund or an employee in the general fund spends time on another fund, room tax fund, for example. I spend a great deal of time on a monthly basis in the room tax fund. We had a study 3 years ago that said, here is the distribution of those overhead expenses. Well, that distribution of overhead expenses from the general fund generates for the general fund $1,030,000. But it's a constantly moving target. It is also 3 years old. The philosophy behind it, we had a professional firm that did that, and so it is constantly being updated. And I tell you that only because much of this budget and its $44 million size involves either capital, the general fund, or services provided for. And what I did there on line item 19 or 18, whichever one you're looking at, was simply update that, which again impacted many different funds and cost centers in your budget document. So when you get a chance, if you can take those pages that I just distributed to you, insert them ahead of the page that's indicated, 9A or 17A or something like that, you will have another document that is current and up to date. And you can see there's about 25 or 30 pages there. Then if we think that budget approval will be next week, certainly hope so, but if it isn't, it won't be next week. Whenever budget approval is, then you'll have a completely new document with no of these interim pages or anything, because that is the budget that would be approved and then submitted to the council for adoption. So this is just kind of a work in progress. So are there any questions on any of those items?
I drove around Newport the other day and I saw fewer trees. And I'm worried about all of the loss of trees in town. Also, I want to, do you ever sleep?
No.
Do this stuff.
No, this is...
Since driving back and forth between...
No, we're fine.
Okay.
We understand what we're to do with this, and then, thank you.
Okay, then my recommendation is, and again, it wasn't to slight any of the smaller or, I'm going to say obscure, they're just smaller funds. We have seven funds that I think are, for which the majority of the revenue and the activity reside in. We did the general fund last week, and then you have a lot of public works funds. Streets fund, water fund, wastewater fund, then you have the room tax fund, you have the airport fund, and then you have the capital projects fund. I think a goal, and my goal would be, that you get through six of those tonight, but not the capital projects fund. I strongly recommend that we do that next week. And if you agree with that, then Lee is here to talk, I'm sure, about the streets fund, the water, and the wastewater fund, which numerically are the next three funds after the general fund, 105, 106, and 107. Any questions?
Very good. Okay, Lee, you're set forward. Everybody, we go to page 54, please, identifying the street funds. Page 55 is a public works street division narrative, so to speak. We'll start there, Lee, if you will, and then go on with whatever you want.
Yeah, this section has the streets and the storm drainage funds in it, and the primary source of funding for street fund actually comes from our share of state gasoline taxes. In addition to that, there are monies that go through the fund but end up in capital projects, and those are from the local gas tax, and also from, we get some money from the federal gas tax. It's referred to in here as safety lieu, and that's a long acronym, but it's federal money, comes to the city through the state, and the state, sometimes we refer to it as money laundering, they apply the federal money to some of their projects, and then give us some of their money that doesn't have as many strings attached. If we had federal money, we couldn't even spend it ourselves. We'd have to have the state spend it for us. So we usually use that money for overlays. This budget was essentially a toe-the-line budget. In fact, we reduced our materials and supplies spending by about 11% from last year. We have four people in that division, both for streets and for storm drainage, and they're about as busy as they can be trying to maintain the streets and the storm drainage.
This year's goals, how are they looking in your opinion?
Well, some of them are pretty optimistic. For example, there's one for some sidewalk on Nye Street between Olive and Third. That will take some putting together because we don't really have money set aside for that. That's a kind of a high priority for us. Going north from the library, and we would see that maybe being incorporated into a local improvement district so we can get some help. You know, it was mentioned earlier, leveraging the money that we have, and if we can get a local improvement district and get property owners to be assessed for a portion of that, that would make our money go a lot further.
Why do you include it then in this year's goals if it's pie in the sky?
Well, it's something that we're working on, but I don't believe we'll get it accomplished, but we'll be working toward that this year.
All right. Very good. Questions? Yes, Janet.
On the capital projects on this year's goals, which ones? I mean, your priorities? It says complete capital projects.
Oh, we'll go through those on the capital projects, but the first one that we would want to complete on the capital projects from this fund would be our street overlays. And we'll have a list of street overlays when we go through the capital projects.
And Lee, those street overlays were also, a tentative list was also forwarded to you. I forwarded those to you this weekend also.
That street fund that we started over at South Beach for NOLA, that will be completed this year. It'll be finished by this.
Yeah, that wasn't in this fund. That was in the urban renewal. Well, urban renewal paid for it, but then it goes through the capital improvements.
Okay.
fund.
Yep. Any other questions?
Quick question.
Yes,
Joe. Just wondering, how much does a curb cut cost for pedestrian access into the sidewalk, roughly? Our bike ride committee has several.
Roughly about $1,000.
One other question on the funds coming in. You talked about state gas tax.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a line for the Newport gas tax. Is that in budget? Is that?
The Newport gas tax was in the capital fund. This we moved it to the capital fund along with something called iced tea or various other things.
The safety lube.
Yeah. So that goes
into the they're going directly into the capital improvement.
Thank you.
Very good. Yes, sir.
So on your corrected page, 56A,
yes.
The only thing you've done along these changes then was to add in the services provided by the general fund and charging that?
Yeah, of course.
Charging that out of that fund to go back to the general fund?
Yeah, in other words, it's an expense to them, and I had overlooked that the first time.
Okay, so you took $90,000 out, which reduced the contingency by quite a bit.
That's exactly right, and that's very observant, by the way, because that's the issue. When overhead people such as myself and Jim Boberg and others, when their time was studied 3 years ago, it was realized that you might have a streets SDC, and you'll see this for $17 of overhead charges. You might see water, wastewater, some of these bigger guys quite a bit. In the case of streets, I simply overlooked that the formula wasn't there, and so there wasn't any allocation. So I needed to go back and make sure that they were all there because, again, it's fairly obscure, but it's hugely important because you're talking about $1 million that are being taken from the other funds, essentially and over simply to pay for my salary. Not that I'm making $1 million.
So we end up with a contingency of only $90,000 in that fund.
And remember, the obligation is 2% of the operating revenues. The operating revenues there are $535,000 and possibly the $253,000. So 2% of $535,000 is what? $10,700.
So
there's plenty of money in the contingency. And as a general comment, many of the contingencies are above the minimum requirements, and so there is some flexibility in some of the contingencies.
Very good. All right. Would you please turn to page 59 to 66, and that will be the water fund. Lee, you're up on this one.
Okay. This year is a little bit unique in the water fund because we're building a new plant, and for a portion of the year we'll be operating both the new plant and the old plant. And so and some of the things in the new plant are unknown. We don't know how much electrical is going to cost us because of the configuration of the plant. We have no experience with it. We have some ideas, but we'll have to see how those go. So we have got some extra funds for chemicals and things because we will be starting up the new plant in here.
Are there any questions in reference to the budgeted items in the public works water treatment? Yes.
Do you have any plans for changes in your FTT total?
FTE?
FTE, yeah.
No.
So our new plant's going to take just as many people?
It may not. We'll find out after we get operating it. But
Fred?
One question I was wondering about, and I don't see any mention of it in your budget. That's your accounts receivable. You probably got a lot of people who don't pay their water bill. How do you collect it?
That's done through finance department, but essentially, so David can correct me, but we follow up with people. We have a deposit that they make. If they don't pay their payment, we collect the deposit. If that's insufficient, we have the ability to actually go back against the property owner, and we're looking at that. If we don't do that, then we would have to switch over to something like a collection agency and charge a high percentage.
I just want
to,
do you have any feel for what you're owed?
Oh.
Well, we calculate that at the end of every year, as we will be doing as of June 30th, and being under a modified accrual system, any that is outstanding and is believed to be collectible is still recorded as revenue this year, though we haven't got the cash. It's just another accrual basis of accounting. The mechanics of how it happens out here at this window, I couldn't answer very well. I hope to within a few months, but I can't now.
Right.
But again, if it's revenue properly identified with this period, it is recorded in this period, whether the cash has been received.
So you're accruing instead of cash?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Very good. Yes, Jim.
I also want to reiterate to the Budget Committee that the water fund anticipates a 3% increase in water rates, and that is to cover additional costs. Plus, we are looking 2 years out, as we do, not only do we build our systems, our greater systems, but we have a water creek or a water tank that we're hoping to fund. So we're looking ahead, and we will need that 3% to meet those goals.
In the past 5 years, what have been the increases each year? You know?
Probably not us.
What have been the increases each year for the tax?
Three to five.
So that's 15, 16, 18%. Mm-hmm. That's quite a bad. I notice the water bill. We all do. We all pay our water bill, and it's not going down. Is this going to stop eventually? Or are we just looking for 3% per year?
It's based on our actual costs. If we look at what our anticipated costs are going to be, and then calculate our customers and water uses and back into the number. So will it always increase? It may not. At some point, hopefully our costs to produce the water level off, and then if our number of gallons that we produce and sell goes up, then we could actually hold steady.
All right. Well, we're going to be looking at that in the next year.
Yeah. Well, it also fluctuates somewhat according to the amount of water that we sell, and you know, on one hand, we're asking people to conserve water, and we're pushing for that angle, but we also sell a lot of water to the fish plants. If there's a good year in the fishing industry, then we see quite a bit of revenue. And if it's a poor year in the fishing industry, then we see a decrease, and we need to make adjustments.
We're going to be talking about that next year, because that's an item that is of interest to everybody. I call your attention to page 67, going on to page...
Can I just have one clarification on this?
Yes.
On this year's goal, there's a SCADA system plan for distribution. What's that
stand for? SCADA stands for System Control and Data Acquisition. And it's a way of managing all of our remote facilities from a central location. And actually, we have money in the current budget to do that, a plan for that, and it'll be crossing the fiscal year. But, for example, we have a facility out in Siletz that we have to send somebody out there every day to check on, and by having this system in place, we'll be able to monitor it more closely without having to go out there all the time, and it will be tying into the computer with the new treatment plant, so it will it'll allow tanks and other things that require frequent visits to be monitored more closely.
Good. We might save a dollar. Pages 67, everyone, all the way down to 73. This is the wastewater fund.
Again, the wastewater fund is, as far as the treatment plant, is pretty much continuing to operate as we have. I'm proud to announce that our plant continues to operate well within the parameters that are set by our permit. Our permit allows us to have 30 parts per million of BOD, biochemical oxygen demand, and total suspended solids each, average per month. Our averages are about 3 and 4 compared with 30. So that's where we're operating, and we continue to operate that way. We're finding now that the plant is about 10 years old, that there are motors and bearings and air handling systems and things like that that are needing repair and replacement. So our maintenance budget, our maintenance needs are going up. There's pressure on that, but we've held the line on the budget this year. There is a major project that we need to fund, and we were going after some USDA rural development funds to do that, and by the time we got through going through most of the hoops, we found out that they had told us initially there was some grant money available, but that grant money isn't really available, or it doesn't apply to us because of the number of customers that we have and the amount of water or sewer that we generate is equivalent to a population over 10,000, and there's this formula. Anyway, essentially it is upsizing the lines coming from Agate Beach into town. It has kind of a domino effect. So if we upsize a pump station in Agate Beach, the line that goes out of the pump station has to be upsized. Oftentimes the gravity line that pumps into has to be upsized. There's another pump station, and because of our terrain here, we have 25 pump stations in our system. This project would upsize three of those and the corresponding force mains, and it's about a $5.5 million project. We're looking at ways that we can pare it back and do it in phases, and so we're trying to get it back into the $3.5 to $4 million range, and so we'll be needing to fund that. We've put a 5% recommended increase in rates. That money would be seed money, and then when we borrow, we'll be borrowing on the market most likely to fund that project, and it's something that we'll be required to do by DEQ. So.
With your knowledge of your job over the years, how do we rate compared to cities of 10,000 for our funds that you're reporting on tonight?
For our fees?
Yeah, for our streets and for our water plant and for our...
We've done rate studies and compared with other cities, and we're usually pretty close to average or a little below on the fees that we charge our citizens.
And are we doing a... In your estimation, a pretty good job of keeping up with our streets the best we can, and the
streets. You know, streets, I'm not sure. Yeah, that's a little hard to compare with other cities. But on our water, especially when we get the new plant in, we'll be state of the art. Of course, state of the art, they say, is obsolete the next day after you get it built. But we'll have an outstanding water treatment plant. Our sewer treatment plant has enough capacity to last us for, I would venture at our population growth rate, for more than 20 years.
Good.
And the water treatment plant will have essentially the same. And both are capable of being expanded without nearly the cost per additional gallon produced than what the last
was. Are 25 pumping stations pretty well set? I mean, is that where we're looking at to maintain those?
Yeah. In fact, we've made a lot of progress on those. In 1994, we had one pump station that had a generator. And so if the power went out, they had to run around with portable generators and plug into each pump station. We now have all of the main pump stations have generators with automatic transfer switches. And most of them are, well, about half of them are on a SCADA system for the sewer collection. So they're all monitored from a central computer. If there's a problem, it calls somebody out. And so there's quite a bit of improvement in that.
Mm-hmm. I want to finish this off.
Yes.
Is there a point in time that you'll have to do a major overhaul on the wastewater treatment plant?
I don't foresee doing a major overhaul as long as we keep our maintenance up. But there will be a time, and it's probably 30 years out, that we'll have to do an expansion. And the footprint of the plant can be doubled. The capacity can be doubled without doubling the garage in the administration building. But we will have to put a new outfall out through South Beach, and that's all in our master plans.
Very good.
Do you have enough money in here? Currently, they haven't really been able to finish all the smoke testing items that were checked off, and then we still need to smoke test the Bayfront, some other areas in the town. Is there funds in here available to do the smoke testing this coming year?
There are some funds to do some additional smoke testing, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not identified as a specific project, but we will be doing some.
Chuck?
I was curious, the infiltration and inflow issue that the city always kind of fights. Are we getting ahead of that? Then that's where...
Well, that's where the smoke testing comes in.
Are we improving?
Yes. Yeah, we're always making some improvements.
How do you chart that? Because I know we had a lot of rain this year, a ton of rain.
Yeah.
And I would think that every time it rains, you see a spike in the amount of sewer that you have to process.
We do.
And so do you ever correlate the amount of rain you have with how much sewer you pump to get a sense of how those work in tandem, like chart that, you know, maybe some sort of clue in it.
Yeah, and of course we keep track of that. There are always new cracks and things that are developing, but as we are, especially in the older part of town, and we've been replacing a lot of the older lines. When I say a lot of money, it doesn't amount to a lot of linear feet, but we've replaced, for example, the line on the Bayfront, the line on Elizabeth Street in the last year and a half. Those are pretty major lines.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Last year you mentioned that some of those big infrastructure projects that we're doing, replacing those systems, we're going to reduce the I&I.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious if you actually quantify it or can, you know, validate it.
I couldn't tell you how much right now. Each project is very small percentage of what needs to be done.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 5-minute break only, please. 5 minutes. So, Ted, I'd like to see you for a minute. Ted?
Was beach right down below my voice there. That's going to be done with pipers this morning. That's a big one. That's caused major backups.
You know that where there is such a dramatic change in material services?
So what is the change?
Which one?
This new budget page.
I haven't seen the new budget page.
It's got a huge change.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be one of the
on which fund? Which water?
That's going to be done
probably because
it's your old budget.
It's probably it's in utility. Because when we last year, for some reason, our budget got really undercut the utilities. We're electricity is over by about 30,000. Another is over 30,000.
He actually increased it from the original budget request. This is new paper.
Well, that's why I have to.
That's one of them. They're going to change it around a little bit. Well, I would think it was a
session, and we're now going to hear from the Parks and Recreation Fund, Jim Portiva. That goes on page 74 of your handout over to page 84. Jim?
Well, thank you. The Parks and Rec Department is represented starting on page 74, and that department has been broken into different cost centers, and it's a way to divide out all the responsibilities. They include operation of a municipal pool, a recreation center, a senior activity center, a sports and youth program, and park maintenance and construction. And those different divisions make up the whole of our Parks and Rec Department. I'm just going to go over quickly some of the status of last year's goals. There is one error, which I'll alert you to, but we have completed a very impressive senior center expansion project that was funded by a CDBG grant, and the seniors are using it. If you have not seen that, I encourage you to get over, because it is quite an addition, and it's really something that the seniors are quite proud of. Next. We finalized plans and completed we've got our plans completed, and they're ready to go out to bid on our Deco Park. We finalized plans, and we are out to bid on our Coast Park. That one will be next to the Performing Arts Center.
The bids came in.
The bids are in, that's correct. At the time I wrote this, this is where we were, and those bids are in. We have been through the waiting period. I believe we have we're very close to that point where we can give a notice to proceed. So we're moving forward on that project rapidly. You should see substantial work down there in the next month. Next, we do have a trail route roughed in the South Beach area. At the time I wrote this, I had bids for appraisals. We did not actually move forward on those appraisals, And at current, the South Beach Trail, as was decided, is on hold because we had a landowner change his intention. And so he's no longer interested in having a trail go across a portion of his property. Next, we planned and designed a concept for a new municipal pool. We went out to the people with a ballot initiative for that, and that ballot initiative failed by 250 votes. And so at this time, we are not moving forward on any type of new municipal pool. And then lastly, we formed a working group and had great discussions on foundations, starting a foundation to support the Park and Rec Department. There was initial motivation and drive when the municipal bond for the pool failed. That group somewhat fizzled, and everybody kind of went their own ways, and it's something that needs to be rekindled or find new people that would have an interest in supporting that. This year's goals will be to explore new markets and things at our current municipal pool, including some upgrades. We want to continue to provide excellent aquatic programs and meet the needs of patrons that choose to swim there. We want to search for alternative funding opportunities to replace some of the aging equipment at the rec center. We want to continue to provide quality and affordable recreation activities to the community. We are actively expanding programs with a focus on wellness at our senior center. We have a suspended floor, and so we're starting all kinds of new and innovative senior fitness programs to get seniors more active. And now that we have a dedicated space for them, it's more comfortable that they can stay at their own center, and they're taking advantage of that. We want to explore completion of a prep kitchen and a deck railing at the center. These were projects that we thought would be funded through our grant as part of our match money. However, we ran into some other costs there that involved sewer work, and so that money was diverted from those projects to fix a greater problem, which solved a flooding problem. So we want to still do those. We just have to come up with the right mix of funds to do that. We want to develop some new events this year. The biggest and most visible one is the Newport Celtic Festival and Highland Games, and that will be coming up here in June. And we want to complete the Coast Park project, and we want to explore funding opportunities to continue siding replacement at the Senior Activity Center. Through the grant and through the work that's been done, we have new siding on half of the building. We took off a old drive-it system that was not was good in its day and has probably found different and better ways to deal with that. So we have half of that senior center sided with a different material. Yes.
You recently replaced the whole street side front. Is that
which side? The south and the east are done. The front side.
The second street side.
Second Street side is the same. The Avery Street, which would be the street that divides the
That's
center
the middle one.
And the, yeah.
But the front, other side was replaced because it had rot all through it, and they put on the same stuff but new 2 years ago.
When they did, no, not 2 years ago. When they did the expansion where they put the office buildings in there, there was some work, and it stopped where there's a doorway.
Okay.
So, and the whole west-facing side is original.
Okay.
So so we're halfway there, we'd want to explore some funding for that through the Friends of the Senior Center and look at that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where we're at with the Parks and Rec Department, some of the things that have been done. I'd be happy to go through each of the cost centers, explain in great detail or as little as you need to help you understand where we are and This.
Just open it to some questions from the committee.
Let's start.
Let's start over here, Lon.
Yeah, I would just ask a question that I asked the do you have any plans for changing your FTE levels anywhere?
The answer is no. When you look at all the different FTEs, and those are FTE stands for full-time equivalent, those are a fairly minimal number because we made a reduction in the Parks and Rec Department FTEs by almost 6 people 2 years ago. And so we feel like these are the minimum levels that we need. Of all of these positions, all of these people, only 9 of those are full-time employees. The rest would all be part-time, unbenefited, or less than fully benefited employees. So we are not increasing or decreasing.
What has been your membership increase or decrease over the last few years? What's the trend look
like? The trend is actually going up. And there's a couple of different things that have helped with that. The biggest, the most substantial increase was another fitness type of facility closed in town, and 69 of their members elected to come to us last year. So that was the biggest shot in the arm. We've done aggressive marketing, and we've brought in people, bringing in people and losing people. So we're trending up. We'd like to go up faster and farther than we are, but the trend is up.
Next question is, with the number of people you've got on staff, what's the number of members that you can adequately serve with that number of employees?
Yeah.
What's your range?
Yeah, we can adequately increase. A lot of our activities that take place there don't require staff per se, meaning if someone comes in, they can swipe in on their own, bypass our control desk or walk past our control desk, and don't need to have too much interaction with staff, and then can go upstairs and have an independent workout. We do have cardio assistants that can help people. If we got a large influx of people that required personal attention or wanted some training, we would have a challenge. But at current, we seem to be maintaining. We have reduced that too. We looked at many areas where we reduced, but at current, I think we can handle everything that's been coming our way. If the economy turned and people had more discretionary money and they chose to come and use it there, then we could potentially have a problem. I don't see that over the next year.
Yes, sir. Other?
Do you have a volunteer program?
Yes. But it's not very robust.
And I was going to say, then you don't have a volunteer coordinator then?
We do not.
Have you done an assessment to find out, are there areas where volunteers could help out?
The biggest yes, we've identified some things.
Throughout all your.
One of our goals is to increase volunteerism in our park system, and have some level of adopt a park where citizens can go and become more active. The gentleman on your right spends a lot of time with a machete on trails and such like that. And it's not as formalized as we could have it. And it's a goal of council, and it's certainly something we're actively working on. It's not very formalized. Tons of volunteers at the senior center. It's a real easy place for them to volunteer time. Less at the rec center, none at all pretty much at the pool.
You've got a maintenance program that you could probably really utilize a volunteer program.
We could in the parks more so, certainly than we are at current. Some of our other things, like at the pool, less as much, just because it's technical and it's quite intimate. There's not a whole lot of places for volunteerism. Certainly on the grounds around, though, we could utilize something.
In your budget request that you have here, do you have some upgrades or in the capital projects? Do you have some things you're doing at the pool? Because we really need to keep it going for 5 or more years.
Yeah, there is no money in the capital budget for upgrades at the pool.
What about repairs, maintenance of the roof?
Actually, yes, let me correct that because it is not in the Parks and Rec budget. but Jerry Spanskas has included, I believe, $35,000 for roof repair.
Roof work?
To the pool.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. The pool is also looking at ways to increase their participation, and they're exploring markets that they're not currently serving.
Just about some of your numbers here, I was curious about. We had $44,000 in reserve for future capital. This year we had zero. Federal grants were over $1 million last year. This year you had zero. And swimming pool revenue was $80,000. This year is zero. Why are all those numbers zero? Are they being accounted for in different places?
Looks like they've broken down. I like the same thing. As you go down the list, and then if you add those up, they come up to 84.
They broke down the revenue part.
Long, yeah. Long. Yeah. Look at Kathy Klein wants to break out swimming pool revenue. So it starts at 4501, okay. 4502. All of those say pool, and they add up, and they actually exceed both the budget and what the budget for last year and the budget for this year. That's an effort to more specifically identify both costs and revenues by specific functions. So, okay. Again, where it's blank in this case, it was because we broke them down. The $1 million was $800,000 for the senior center grant, and of course that has gone away. That's now closed out. I don't know what the other $400,000 was.
And the park too.
The park, yeah, it was, actually that was the park. The Coast Park was a state grant.
But that's where the $1 million came from. That wasn't all senior center, was it?
That was not all the senior center.
When you have grants anywhere in here, you only put that in there if you actually got the grant, not if you applied for it or would like to have it.
Actually, they're now showing up in the capital projects if, under the project associated with that grant, okay. If that answers the question. If we're going to move forward and do that project.
Yeah, if you receive the money.
No,
or are scheduled to receive it. Yeah, not necessarily to have
if
cash in hand, because most of it's reimbursement.
There's a good chance. No, it's what will happen. If we estimate a $500,000 grant and the associated $500,000 in expenses, we don't receive the grant, the expenses don't occur either. But we much prefer to that. In other words, we much prefer to have revenue budgeted and not received, because there'll be nothing spent against it. But we'll have it there and won't require any more action by the city council.
One clarification, I guess. That
sure.
This is a swimming pool here, and you can't tell from page 80 from prior years transfers from general fund. There's nothing in, you know, prior years, but. It dropped dramatically from 146 to 81 in the proposed budget. But then again, I'm looking down at the bottom line sources of funds, and the negative numbers here, it was quite a big difference there. 48,000 is compared to what seems to be a nominal 235, and then we're expecting 111. And of course, these are projected revenues, I guess, is what I'm getting at. But how do you?
The general fund is smaller. It's about 9.7 million as compared to 10.7 million. So, and this is simplistic, but with that much smaller a fund, we had to assume that the transfers out, the transfers in, the services provided, full services provided by the general fund, were all diminished a certain percentage. And so, in the case of what's a good example? Well, the best example is about two-thirds of the way down the page. I'm in the swimming pool on page 80. Mm-hmm. You notice the total materials and services budgeted this year at $109,500, budgeted next year at $82,925. The departments were directed to reduce their materials and services by about 88.7%, simply because that's what we were experiencing this year, and simply because the general fund can't support as much. And so that happened, and then anything that has to do with transfer from the general fund, now I'm about in the middle of the page on account 4901, Jim especially, although it's true to some extent for airport, I believe, Jim especially is getting a lot less from the general fund. Last year he got $806,000. This year it's $446,466. Yeah. The general fund cannot support the other funds and the subsidies within the general fund to the extent that it did this year. The thing for Jim is that he is expected to bring in a beginning fund balance of $317,314,000. If he doesn't do that, then Parks and Rec is going to have a challenge by the end of the first quarter. That's a conservative estimate. I believe he'll bring that in. That's not really his estimate, but it's right. His fund. And if you look at page 76 on the top, that beginning fund balance of $319,757, that's got to be there because he's getting a lot less from the general fund. And that may be the case for the next couple of years. The general fund is smaller, and so it can support everybody else less in the way that they've been accustomed to in the past, if that makes sense. But again, in some cases, Jeff, we just said it was 100, it's now 92. 92% is what's going to happen. It's simplistic, but it's the best we can do on some of these transfers and other things.
I just want to make a note, and I support that we do keep a pool here for the next 5 years, but so everybody understands that even though we were going to build another one here, we're still, in this past case, 200,000 in the red. We're saying 100,000 here. It's still $100,000 to have a pool open. So
there's no question about the pool costs money, and that's what the subsidy does. And if we were to charge the patrons who use the pool for the full cost of using that pool, it probably would be cost prohibitive for most of them.
Yeah. Well, I just bring that point out because there is a group willing to run a pool and not charge the city, but everybody wonders what would happen if they didn't make it.
It might be interesting to know that in Parks and Rec, it's the rec center and the recreation programs that are, quote, profitable. Swimming pool and the senior center, I'm not sure about admin and the other, they lose money.
Well, there's no revenue associated with
right. I mean, it's like finance or something. I mean, they've got to be subsidized. Jim has an obligation to zero out the losses and the gains, but it's the rec center and the rec program that are generally profitable, and the swimming pool, of course, is not, and right now the senior center is not either. But at the fund level, he has to zero out. And so it'll be critical, and we'll be watching that immediately, that he comes in with $317,000 in the bank, so to speak.
Which will be a challenge, a huge challenge.
We have Mark.
David, you have increases in room tax revenues going to the rec center.
Yes.
On both, the whole area. Are you keeping the room tax? We haven't gotten to that fund yet. Are you keeping room tax revenues flat from this past year?
We're keeping them flat with our expectations this year, which is about $2.3 million in receipts. We're not keeping them at 2.5, 2.4. There's been no time in this year when we expected to receive 2.5, 2.4 million.
So you were able to find a way to increase the room tax dollars
and
to this to recreation parks and
recreation. 46% split. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So because you're adding 40,000 to that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a question about the events. Are those seen as money revenue generating, or are they primarily promoting Newport? I know there's $40,000 as revenue from the Celtic Games.
Yeah, that is, you're looking at expenses, and so, or are you looking at the revenue?
I'm looking at source of funds, and then it's not really broken down.
The reality of events is that we want to make money. It's our intention to make money. However, there's an expenses associated with revenues, and we feel like on the Celtic Festival, we probably will make very small gains this very first year because we're right out of the chute. We see a great upside potential on that. We're looking at some other events that will make money right away. So the answer is yes, events are designed to make money, to bring people to town, to put heads in beds, and to provide something hopefully unique that's not been done or not being
done. That's your strategy for developing more. And then there was something from the Bike and Pedestrian Committee. Does that fall under Parks and Rec, or is that?
It does not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we do bike racks, and we do that kind of stuff.
I'm looking at page 82 once again, going back to the Celtic Festival. I think $40,000 is a lot of money, and it wouldn't behoove us to put out $40,000 and then come close to making that back, or even have a minus figure. We're going to take a very serious look at that, see how that goes. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. The good news there is that we have, through a committee and through staff, have garnered quite a bit of that amount in sponsorships. And some of them are hard cash sponsorships, and then some of those are in-kind type stuff. For example, the News Times has come on board as a sponsor, and they're giving us all of our printing, all of our advertising stuff, and they're valuing that at $35,000 alone.
Well, so, where are we now? We got $40,000 hard sponsorship. How much do we have to reduce that amount?
I would suggest that after we get gate sales and everything, that that will be zero. We're gonna generate as much as we spend.
Well, that would be good. So the object is for these, and you're going to say, okay, we'll put out the money if we can make the cost and make some money.
And make some back, correct.
You have lost nothing if you make $40,001. But it certainly would behoove us to make a lot more than that on these events.
That is the intent, but there are so many variables like weather and competing interests. Who knows? We feel like we're going to do it, though. Well, we're going to be okay. Our intention, though, is to have some seed money going into next year.
All right, we're looking at that, and that's good. Any other questions you have for Parks and Recreation?
Yeah, just a couple of quickies.
Yeah.
You mentioned that there are Celtic deals going on.
Yes.
Do you do anything like a big, like a state games?
Like Olympics type games?
Yeah.
We do not. Like a Hershey track and field. Currently, we do not. There is a Highland Games associated with this Celtic Festival. We don't have anything else going on that is the track type events or things of that nature. Our sports program does run the track program, and we do have lots of games and stuff that come down, but no event like you might be thinking of.
Okay. And the next question is, does your swim team have a booster club?
The swim team
has grown hugely in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Our swim team is actually independently run. It's a 501c3. The city doesn't do anything in terms of boosting that program.
So
that's
you don't charge them?
We do not, and let me tell you why that is. We don't. How can I say this? We charge the members of the swim team to come and swim, just like anybody who would want to come and swim. They have to take out an annual membership. So the city derives a benefit because they take out an annual or some type of membership that allows them to swim. Because their numbers are robust enough, meaning usually they have between 50 and 75 kids come out, they pack the pool, and so the benefit to them, to the city, is that we get money. The liability to the city is that we dedicate prime time. They get 2.5 hours of prime afternoon time.
Every day.
5 days a week.
Five days a week.
Yeah. And so... Yeah. So there is a benefit, but there's not a direct expense.
How many meets do they have a year?
About 4.
Yeah, do you make money off of those?
You know, we do and we don't. We charge for it, and then they usually get a waiver that dismisses some of that. So I would say that it's a break even deal.
So there's some room for change.
There could be some opportunities there.
Well, a lot of the things that you do, kind of like pot stirring, you bring people into town that, in effect, generate income for other parts of the city.
Clearly. Yeah. With all the ball fields and all the games and all the tournaments and all the basketball out-of-town teams that come in, the swim team clearly. But how to track any of that is...
Yeah,
but a lot of families come and they stay an extra day or two on both sides of their event. Yeah, clearly the Parks and Rec is responsible for a lot of stuff going on.
And you've got to keep your rates down to a point where these folks can afford to come and still be able to afford to stay.
That's
here.
A philosophical question.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't have it. That maybe that's the community response to that.
It's where I came from, the pool, the kids paid a fee to the team. The money went into the pool, the guest pool where they were going, and the pool got $1 out of the $5. It was $5 per event. The kid could swim what 5 events in over a weekend, or whatever it is, I forget. And then the pool got $1 out of each of those. Yeah. From each of those kids.
We have programs like that, too. You know, we do that.
And you can make...
For a meet, yes.
Yeah, you can make a few thousand bucks on a weekend.
Yeah,
no problem.
And the swim team feels like that's their fundraising opportunity, too.
It is, but they spend it on something.
They do. They
do. I don't want to get into fundraising tactics, please.
Okay.
Is there anything else for the Parks and Rec, please? Okay, Jim, thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you all.
It. Next item on the agenda will be the airport fund on page 85, going to page 90, the airport fund. Do you have a narrative you're going to deal with?
Well, what I was going to do is talk to you for a few minutes about the airport. The airport, like the Parks and Rec, is basically an enterprise fund. It's set aside from the general fund in order to, because it has the potential to earn its own way and earn its own money. Like the Parks Fund, the airport fund doesn't quite do that. The airport is operates in both as a function as a public utility and also as a private business in a lot of ways. Out there at the airport right now, we have several lines of business. First of all, we operate as a facility, much like a mall would operate. We provide facilities to other businesses to come in and lease, or to private individuals to come in and lease and run their businesses or operate a hangar or whatever it is they may want to do. And that provides potential revenue streams. The other thing that we do out there, which is different than most airports, is we do run the FBO. The FBO is the fixed base operator that provides services to aircraft. Particularly, the main thing we do is sell fuel. Most FBOs offer another wide variety of services, which at this point the city is not able to provide those services. The airport also provides a lot of intrinsic value to the community as a resource. Many businesses won't come into a community unless the airport is located there, and it's a community resource that's available to everyone, and everyone uses it in one way or another. Right now, our main goal is to keep the airport in a good, maintained shape that pleases the FAA. And also allows us to provide operations to both the airline and to the private individuals. Then we also have a goal of maintaining the fuel cells and keeping competitive in the amount of fuel that we sell, keeping the price of the fuel competitive so that other people, or so that will draw in more tourists and more travelers to the area. Pilots do tend to have more money to spend on the average. So every time they come in and stay a weekend, they tend to come in and stay in hotels and spend money in the community. We do provide a lot of services to those individuals. We also provide the services to the commercial businesses that use the airport. Aside from maintaining the airport in a Part 139 standard, Part 139 is the regulation that the FAA holds us to. It's a very strict set of regulations. We're held to that because of wanting to be able to provide the potential to commercial air service. That standard requires a bit more maintenance and a bit more daily uptake and upkeep than a normal general aviation airport. Aside from that, we do work on a couple of capital improvement projects. We have just finished one for this year, and we've got the process started for another one. The primary funding for the capital improvement project does come from AIP grants. And that's a 95% match grant. So if our project's, a $500,000 grant, the airport has to come up with somehow $25,000 of that for $500,000. So that's just an example. That's pretty much the whole operation in a nutshell, and I can talk about any of the aspects of it that you want me to.
All right. Do we have some questions for the airport?
Yes.
Mark?
Okay.
You have a huge decrease in materials and services. You know what happened there? Is that because of the airline?
Yeah, the materials and services. I believe in the there's a couple of issues there. In the last budget, materials and services included the grants, specifically the Rural Air or the Connect Oregon grant for the airline. This year, it does not include our FAA grant. The FAA grant is in the capital funds project that David was talking about a moment ago. So between both of those items no longer being in that fund, and one, we no longer have the Connect Oregon grant, and two, the AIP grants being moved over to the capital funds, yeah, it does decrease it significantly.
So when we have AIP grants, you have to do a match? Is that match in your
budget? The match does wind up coming out of our general revenue.
Is that in here somewhere?
I believe it is under materials and services. Is that correct, David?
Materials and services part.
Correct. And we are hoping that Oregon will come up with a Connect Oregon 4 and continue the rural airports portion of that. If they do, we will more than likely get the matching fund from Connect Oregon. But we didn't count on that, so we put it in the budget to come out of our funds.
When would you know?
The legislature right now is dealing with the Connect Oregon 4 issue, and we won't know anything until they pass that. Once they pass that, they'll have to pass it with the rural airports rider, and then we will find out how the state is going to handle it and if they'll issue everyone a grant like they did last time. So it's the answer to that is I can't really tell you when I'll know because there's too many variables in place.
Tom, do you have something?
I think I figured it out.
All right. Who else? Anybody else want?
I was just wondering if you have an idea of what major expenses you might see on the horizon for the next year or two.
Yeah, the major expense is maintenance. The FAA funds capital improvement projects, but they don't fund the maintenance of the facility. A couple of the things that we're running into is some paving maintenance. We don't have our own street department, but we have a couple of really big, wide, long streets out there that need the same maintenance that roads do. And as far as striping, crack sealing, pavement maintenance, that's a big issue that's been it's been semi-addressed over the years through a state program. That state program has had a lot of holes in it, and so therefore it hasn't been addressed as good as it should be, and there's a lot of maintenance that's basically been deferred for probably 10 or 12 years, and or deferred or not hit as hard as it should have been. And so there are some maintenance issues with the pavement, with the striping. Things are used every day out there. The lighting systems, the sign systems, everything is just constantly used. Everything's out in the weather exposed, so it's constantly wearing down. The FAA puts about a 20-year life cycle on everything they fund, and we have to make sure it's kept maintained so that it lives that long so that we can get the next set of funding for it. So maintenance is the biggest issue, of course. Employee costs, we're extremely thin on our employee level and our staffing level, so that's an issue in the next few years. As the airport expands and grows and more business comes into it, that'll be an issue. And then the other big expense is providing the services. Developing areas for people to build new hangars, providing infrastructure to those areas, those type of things are big expenses that do need to be addressed. Unfortunately, there's just not in the budget this year for it. And then finally, the biggest expense we have on an ongoing basis, but it's offset, is the cost of the fuel we sell. Of course, we make that up by selling it, and so we cover our costs. The problem is with fuel prices going so high, trying to find that balance between making up the money and trying to make enough of a profit to cover all of our costs, but yet not price it so high nobody wants to fly here. So
if, just to follow up on the first question, if you decided that you needed to do a major overlay of the runway, would that naturally fall into the maintenance category, or would it be large enough that you might be able to get FAA?
A major overlay would be a capital improvement project. The FAA will fund those even at less used commercial and GA airports. I have actually put into the capital improvement plan. With the FAA, I have to put in a 5-year capital improvement plan. I worked with our engineers this year to develop a capital improvement plan. And about year 5, I put in that I'm going to be asking them for a full runway overlay. I can put whatever I want in that capital improvement plan. It depends on what funding is available from the FAA when it gets there. So far, the engineer in charge of that at the FAA has said he agrees with me that it is a necessary improvement in the next 4 to 5 years and that he would see it being feasible. There's a lot of problems with FAA funding right now with the Aviation Trust Fund. It's on its 18th reauthorization and hasn't been reapproved since 2007. And it's just been a continuing resolution after continuing resolution. So a big question about when will funding be available and what funding will be available is dependent on what Congress does with the Aviation Trust Fund, which it's all over the place.
All right. Zach?
Yeah, just one quick question. Is there ever going to be a time that you can see where Connect Oregon is not going to be needed and the airport's actually maybe going to break even?
Connect Oregon only funded Seaport Airlines, and that grant is already expired and used up with a small amount that we still have in play for advertising, which will be used up fairly soon. So Seaport right now is operating fully on their own. In the month's numbers that I have, the only complete month numbers that I have on them operating on their own was in April, and they actually implaned more passengers than they said they required to break even. If that trend
can last month,
yeah. So, and I don't have the numbers for May yet. So if that continues, they will be able to continue operating without any subsidy, which they are right now. So there's the subsidy is gone. They're no longer being paid subsidy. Well, to an extent, we are giving them a lot of concessions. The mayor's working really hard to keep them in housing on the nights so that they can night their overnight flight without any additional cost. We're providing them a crew car. And until they start getting to the point where they're really making a profit, we're not charging them any fees for the use of the airport. So all of those things together could be considered subsidizing, but not at the level that the Connect Oregon funds were. The rest of the operation of the airport isn't subsidized through state or federal grants. When David talks about subsidy for the airport, he's talking about the general fund being transferred to the airport fund. Just like you support the library, you support the fire department, or you support the police department, you support the airport. The difference is those departments aren't enterprise funds, where the airport is an enterprise fund, which has the potential to support itself. We are a long ways away from being self-supportive. It's going to take a few businesses wanting to come in, some growth in the economy, some growth in the community for it to be to the point where the airport supports itself. But it's a classic catch-22. You're not going to have those businesses come in to the community if you don't provide the services an airport can provide either. So,
yes.
You had a business plan when that was like in 2008.
A business plan was created before I became the director of the airport, and after I got here, it was approved by the council. We're trying to stay on track with that. We're also trying to expand it a little bit.
And I think, what was it, 2014, you were hoping to break even?
I don't recall exactly what that number was. I think those numbers were geared more towards the ability of the FBO to break even. And again, there's two lines of businesses out at the airport. There's the airport overall, and then there's the FBO that the city runs. Normally, the FBO would be an independent business operating at the airport. But in this case, it's our business, and the business plan was mainly geared towards when would that break even and how would that break even. And it's got some potential depending on fuel sales.
And with your experience with airports, is the FBO and most airports this size independently owned rather than municipality?
Most airports this size, the FBOs are individually owned by separate corporations. We're not the only one that owns and operates its own FBO, but it's not the general case.
Okay.
Do we have money somewhere for fixing the roof at the FBO, maintaining that building?
Yes, I believe that's.
Is it with Jerry's?
I don't know if it's in this year's.
Yeah, I don't want to contradict David too much here, but in my budget, we put enough in to try to keep it maintained to the point where it's not leaking and it's not doing any more damage, but we didn't budget replacing it, which is what it needs. And I don't believe Jerry's budget has the replacement
no,
either.
Very long
yeah. Yeah, it's a very large number. So we've put enough in there to try to keep it from doing any more damage and hold off because it does need replaced, which was a very large figure in the quote we got.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other comments? Yes, David.
Yes, I'd like to make a couple comments. Gene's first point, or his one of the most recent points, is a valid one in that it is obvious that Parks and Rec and Airport and other funds receive some type of subsidy because it shows it's a transfer from. There's nothing internally that shows how much subsidy, let's say, finance receives or that the library receives. And Jim and I have talked about that a little bit. It's probably important to review that because if the general fund cannot support its subsidized operations, whether within the general fund or otherwise, isn't it logical to say, and if it's going to be down 10%, should everybody be down 10%? Now, that's a very interesting question, and we probably won't get to it this year, but next year we need to look at that because Gene, from his perspective, is absolutely right. Why is Airport, and to a lesser extent, Parks and Rec, more or less singled out for subsidies as manifested by transfers from, in which, for example, TED and his well-run library is not necessarily, but almost everything in the general fund is subsidized, and we probably need to look at that. In the case of Airport, though, I need to point out something here, and these are just numerical things that you need to notice. On page 87, revenue code 4901, transfer from the general fund, you notice that that's increased from $95,000 to $120,000, and transfer from the room tax fund is increased from $339,000 to $419,000. Then dropping down to the bottom, notice that the reserve for future capital, contingency, and unappropriated any fund balance are all zero. That's the only way I can get it to balance, literally. The last comment, then, is that the council's own requirements for 2% contingency and 8 1/3% for ending fund balance, I've unilaterally waived, and I can't do that, but it's the only way I can get this fund to balance. So we will need to address it, and I think the city manager mentioned that last time, is that there's got to be special action by the city council to waive the policy that you just adopted a few weeks ago. The other issue, of course, and again, this isn't an Airport thing and Parks and Rec thing or anything else, it would be universally true, is that when you increase this for Airport, you're decreasing it for Parks and Rec or for somebody else. And this may be the most critical fund in the entire city budget. I just took from a financial point of view. I'm not talking about the political point of view or the tourism point of view or anything else. This is one that took some work to balance out based upon the numbers we were coming up with, which was personal services and materials and services. It's a much smaller budget because the Connect Oregon 2 and the federal grant are no longer part of this, and the AIP 18, if it occurs, which is the major capital project, is in the capital projects fund. So you're seeing a fund more or less at the size that it will normally be, as opposed to last year's, which was over $2 million, $1.5 million of which was the grants we got for Seaport Airlines. So I want you to be aware of this, because this right now is the most special fund we've got as far as how we've handled it to get it into the city's budget.
And in the current year, we keep getting alerts about this fund. Mm-hmm. And are we going to end up without having to subsidize it any further this year and just carry over? No, there's going to be no carryover to next year.
There'll be no carryover. The latest forecast I had for April was that the FBO might overrun by about $30,000 or $40,000. Gene and I have talked about that, and there has to be something that happened for that. Remember, FBO overran by $157,000 in fiscal year 10. And he's got a lot of that stuff under control, but you've got structural issues here in the Airport Fund. And again, when May 31st rolls around, we'll look at it again. But the FBO is kind of interesting. It just doesn't quite make it as it's structured right now. And also at the June 6th board meeting, there'll be some resolution transfers to accommodate the increased expenses, which are offset by the increased revenues in fuel oil and everything as we've talked about before. Fuel oil, lab gas, as we've talked about before.
All right. Appreciate that very much. Thank you so much for your...
One note here, I noticed, services provided for sewer fund in the past has been like $30,000. And I see nothing here in the past. This is on page 89. Are you still receiving some benefit, or are they spreading the...
Yes, they still are, and as far as I know, it was still in there at one point.
It's on page 87. You're looking at the FBO page, Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's in there.
For yeah, it's a part of the airport. It doesn't get credited to the FBO.
Yeah, okay. We've got all the same things are all on the page.
Right.
All right.
One quick question. Do you have your entry fuel prices? Or do you even want to?
In my understanding of what hedging a fuel price means and trying to buy in advance, no, that's not an available option to us. Trying to keep the price that I charge for the fuel in line so that it anticipates how fuel prices are increasing, I try to do that to an extent, but I'm trying to also be careful because I try to balance the sale price based on not only the cost, but on the average price across the state, and in a method that will keep people flying into the airport. It's a difficult balance, and if I try to say, for instance, right now I know that the next time I order fuel, not jet fuel, but Avgas 100 low lead, it's going to cost almost $1 a gallon more than what I paid for it the last time. I have not raised prices that much yet. I have raised prices a little bit to anticipate that and try to offset it, but I haven't raised them that much.
All right, will they finish it up then?
Couldn't you establish a base amount at the beginning of your cycle, and then that would be just a hair below whatever the average is, and then increase that whatever the market increase is for your aviation fuels?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And I try to do that, again, based a lot on what average prices across the state are.
Yeah. But start at the base amount so that if it jumps up a buck, it's a buck. Because you started at a level that was just a hair below whatever.
I get what you're saying. And ideally, yeah, that would be perfect, except everyone in the state's not doing that. So that would wind up putting me, if I kept it at that track too much, it would put me way above what everyone else in the state is charging.
Can you identify some comparabilities, some other fixed base operations that have something similar to what we have here? And use those as a comparability and then just base it off of that?
And that's basically what I do. I pick FBOs that are similar to us and communities similar to us and located near us where people who would otherwise buy fuel here have those options to go there instead. And again, try to keep it competitive. Okay. I don't try to compete with Medford or, you know, anybody in Southern Oregon or someplace like that.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Very good. We're looking at the Lion Underground Fund. What are we doing with that thing?
How about tonight we do that?
We do room tests.
All right, and the Agate Beach Closure Site Fund, and the Building Inspection Fund, and now that's we're going easy. To page 96, and that is the Room Tax Fund, Appropriation Levels, etc. All right. Well, yes, ma'am.
I was going to see if I could get a few minutes for a quick idea presentation.
In reference to?
To the room tax.
Room tax? Surely. Yeah, I don't see any reason why you can't. You've been very patient sitting there. Next time when you do come, just slip a little note up here so we know it, and that would expedite your procedure a little bit more.
It's my first time, so bear with me.
A lot of people always have first times.
All right. My name is Ann Aronson. I'm a local artist. I've lived in Nye Beach for 25 years.
Can you use a microphone so the people in the back could hear you, my dear?
Okay.
I know it's a talk right.
Hello? Okay. Anyway, I talked with Jim a couple weeks ago, and he steered me to this committee as far as the process of presenting an idea for funding. So what I'd like to do is just, cut to the chase here really quick. The idea is for... the Visual Arts Center to do some artistic treatment. And what I did was I was able to get all the end cuts from the contractor. He was going to throw them away, so I got the end cuts. But anyway, I was seeing, you know, bamboo and flowers and so on, and I did a whole big wall mosaic mural, which is at Nye Beach. It's 18 feet tall. And so in the process of doing all this, I just had the idea of presenting this to the city to see if there would be funds that might be allocated to do a whole treatment, possibly a wraparound, or I don't know how exactly to go about the funding, because the difference between a wraparound or just partial is probably huge. But I was kind of seeing a team of artists getting together to do it, and I'm not sure exactly how you would appropriate the funding. I know it's like a process where this would then maybe go to your committee and then call for proposals, but I just wanted to present the idea as a concept for your consideration and then maybe get information on how to proceed further.
It was kind of difficult to say much because we don't really know quite what you have in mind yet. It would probably be a beneficial thing to come up with some sort of a presentation that would include some figures and facts and names and places, just to say we're going to drape the Visual Arts Center. We'd like to do that and have a group of artists to come and do it. Maybe a great idea, but it's a little sketchy right now for the committee to work on. And
so you need some actual figures to even begin the process?
Yeah, we need to have you sit down and say, okay, this is our idea and this is how we'd like to propose it, because what you're saying is we'd like you to sort of think about funding it. Well, if everybody in the county came in and said, right, we have an idea and we don't quite, not too quite sure about it yet, we would like the funding. So it would probably behoove you to put together sort of like a very small business plan to say this is what we would like to accomplish,
right,
goals, objectives, time framework. Nobody even knows how long this would take, whether it be weatherproof or not. You're talking about the most prominent place in town for that water coming off the street down there.
Right. Well, this Hardy board is actually cement, as you know.
Well,
so
that's what I say. We don't know. Right. We've never seen that before.
Oh, you haven't?
There is a new public art committee.
Oh, huh?
And your proposal would be a good one to present.
Okay. Can you tell me when that might be?
Jim Portiva back there is in Parks and Recreation. Does this come under your bailiwick, Jim?
And actually, I'm part of the Art in Public Places Committee.
Oh, okay.
And so because it's the Performing Arts Center, I think it would be appropriate to at least
Visual Arts Center.
The Public Arts Task Force.
Okay, all right. All right. And so would there be a variation, like maybe, you know, a small portion versus a wraparound, or how many people involved?
You mean, there's sure, it just depends on whatever you ways. Think you would do like
both
to
ways?
Do or
okay.
can do.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate the input. And
the city manager will be more than happy to give you the people to contact on this. Yeah.
Okay.
And there may be some people who would like to donate to make sure that the building gets changed.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a great idea, by the way.
Thank you. I thought it was a great idea, too.
I did have a conversation with her prior to coming here, and one thing I did caution her about throwing numbers out is that this committee or even the council couldn't just say, great idea, we're going to let you do it. We do have to go through a competitive bid process, so I didn't want her to say, I can do it for X amount of dollars. Then we go out for a competitive bid, someone says, great idea, I can do it for less. So I asked her to come before the board, and if it had merit, then we would try to, as staff, come up with, say, a dollar amount, and then the committee could put that dollar amount in there, and then if it stays in after the city council, then we would go through the procurement process of anybody and everybody would have an opportunity to do something. But so that's why I cautioned not to throw out a number, because I didn't want her to have to do that and then somebody else come in and steal her idea in the future.
But she could do it if she had donated funds for an ad hoc committee or something like that. If it didn't.
That's correct. She can make a donation.
If the council
privately, then she can
Prove the concept of the project.
The public arts.
So your main goal is to work with the public arts committee, is that correct?
Okay, so...
I think what I'm understanding also is that she's asking for money to be allocated from the room tax fund in a line item of some sort, undetermined amount, I guess, but before the budget's adopted, that then you couldn't get it done even if you came up with a number. So I think that you need a line item or something to hold it. Now there's contingency, I suppose, so she could always pull it out of that, but that would be the only other way you could do it.
Well, it sounds like we maybe have a proposal. We had a proposal for a housing fund, and perhaps there might be a proposal that maybe Catherine from...
Yeah, but that's not room tax, so...
Would be doing a... Well, we don't know what would be...
Housing fund wouldn't come out of room tax. That's right.
Well, there will be other proposals probably for use of room tax fund, I'm sure.
Do you have a deadline for when you're actually going to cut out
proposals? Well, it won't happen this year.
Right, for this is for 2012, right.
This year. This is a process. So it would be best that you begin the process with the committee we suggested.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
And consider alternate sources of funding also.
Like what?
Other donations. Grants.
Okay.
There's lots of ways to go with it.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for being interested in Newport enough to suggest something.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. It was very educational.
All right. We have the room tax fund. David, do you do this? Jim?
Go ahead. They're all agreeing with each other. In this case, you need to look at 97A, not 97.
That's okay.
97A was part of the handout that I gave you. That's got more current numbers.
I've got one extra one.
The room tax fund is actually fairly simple, but it's got a lot of demands on it, and it gets a lot of high-level attention. I thought I'd go through and say, okay, where are we? Well, we estimate the beginning fund balance will be $1.24 million. It was $1.3 million going into this year, and as you well know, far better than I do, $1 million was set aside some years ago for a, was it a convention center or something like that? Sure. Seed money for a convention center. The next item, and really in some ways the most important, well, the most important, is the transient room tax. It was budgeted at $2.524 million this year. It never really came close to receiving that much money. Don't know why, and it's really immaterial. What has happened since I started paying attention to it in November, it has always varied on an annual forecast between 2.2 and 2.3 million. Right now, as of March 31st, and room tax revenues always trail expenses by 1 month because it takes that long to get in all the facts and figures from all the lodging establishments. And sometimes it takes quite a bit longer than that, actually. But the current estimate as of March 31st was $2.27 million. So in some ways, I'm exceeding my own innate conservatism and say the budget for next year transient room tax that I'm recommending is $2.3 million. And Jim and I have gone over this several times. And so $2.3 million looks good. If gas goes up to $7 a gallon, it doesn't look so good anymore. But essentially, the room tax fund had a high 4 or 5 years ago of $2.4 million. It has never achieved $2.5 million. And actually, he's never achieved 2.4 since, and that may have been in 2006, 2007. It's always in the vicinity of $2.3 million, plus or minus $50,000. And so that seems to be a reasonable number. 2.3, of course, is just 92% of 2.5, and so most of the estimates for expenses related to this revenue are roughly 92%. What happens is if you overestimate and you start allocating and you are too high on your estimates, then at the end of the year, the last distribution of room tax monies to the various organizations and funds that use it is cut down to 92%. And so you want to be real careful in what you're estimating, because people are people, individuals, funds are expecting a certain amount based upon the budget, and if the budget's high, it's not going to achieve that, and that's going to be the case this year. So if you look at that, you say total revenue 2.315 million. It was 2.952 million next year. The reserve for future capital, both in this and the fire reserve fund, I disregard. I'm not sure why it was done. The reserve for future capital is also always an expense account. It has shown up twice in this year's budget as a revenue account. I just make it disappear because I don't understand it. But in any event, then you can see that total revenue is less. But by that I mean 2.315 compared to 2.953. But the main source of revenue, transient room tax, is $2.3 million, or at least this is what we're recommending, and certainly not $2.524 million. When we get down to expenses, now this is a lot different, and the room tax fund is impacted as much as any fund by the change in the way we're going to record expenses, which at best is rather erratic. And so all I've done was saying the fiscal year adopted budget for materials and services last year, the year that we're in, fiscal year 11, was $1,091,000. The new total down towards the bottom where it says total materials and services is $959,000, just about $960,000. Now that's in concert with everything else that this budget does. It is a smaller budget. In this case, it's smaller because the expected revenues are smaller. And so even though it's not a one-for-one basis, the total materials and services incorporate those expense accounts that are, for lack of anything better, we'll say is advertising and marketing. Half of that, $526,000, you'll see shows up in operating expenses. There's no such expenses this year. All of this is a little bit different, but the main organizations in the city that benefit from room tax money is either in operating expenses or professional and technical services, the $195,750. Property services are things as basic as custodial, utility bills, and everything else that are paid. Again, you're looking at a number, 960,000, that's roughly, and it's just roughly 92% of what was spent this year, because that's about what we're estimating for resources. There's total capital outlay of $25,000. From the life of me, I can't remember what it is right now, but that's incidental in a $3.5 million fund, but obviously I need to know what that is. Then notice the transfers to the other funds. Now, this is where room tax gets to be very interesting, and it's a fund that is disproportionate in its size to its importance. Transferred general fund is decreased from $766,539 to $600,000. Transfer of the airport fund is decreased $339 to $730 to $216,456, and I won't go through the rest of them. Transfer to capital projects goes down because we either made transfers to capital projects disappear from all funds, or at least as much as we could. The transfer of the debt service fund is a given. We have certain principal and interest obligations that must be met. And so those are identified separately. And then the transfers to park and recreation, and as I've said earlier, that's increased. And then the transfer to the airport FBO has also increased. And again, that's why I wanted to mention that, because these transfers in the room transport, yes. What can I say? These transfers are hugely important in the room tax fund. You see them in other funds. This is almost the very reason that this fund exists, is to distribute to other organizations or other funds. And so I broke those out separately so that you could see the amounts and you could see the differences from this year's fiscal year 12 budget to fiscal year 11 budget. Now, please realize that to take the general fund, the transfer to the general fund, that adopted amount of $766,000 is not going to happen. It's going to be 92% of that, because the $766,000 was based upon a budget of $2.5 million, and that's not going to happen, so it'll be less than that. And probably there's not a fund that I know of that it's more important to be conservative in the revenue estimates for this very reason, because if you're planning to receive something from the room tax fund and you don't get it, your last transfer is short, and everybody hurts a little bit on that, at least in my opinion. We have done exactly what the city council recommended for all of the major funds and some more. Obviously, contingency at $651,000 is a great deal more than 2% of $2.3 million. The direction from the city council, and Jim might want to correct me if I'm wrong, was we are going to this year appropriate that $1 million. Jim and I thought that that was a little radical. And so we have chosen to basically appropriate two-thirds and keep one-third unappropriated for moving into the next year. However, that's your call, not ours. It's rare, in my opinion, to take $1 million that's unappropriated in 1 year and appropriate the entire number the next year. However, that's not our call. It is our recommendation that you basically set aside a third of that, roughly. And the other contingency then to be used for the various things that groups have approached you for in the already this year, as a matter of fact.
Looks like you got just the opposite, though. You got 333 in the budget, not 666.
Yes, maybe I didn't make that clear. Our objective was to appropriate two-thirds of it. Now, because of rounding and things, I use contingency
The unappropriate is still 333.
Yeah, the unappropriate is 333,000, and this isn't quite 666,000 because the contingency in all funds is used as a balancing account because of everything that's going in and out. But you can see it's very close to that. That's our recommendation. Then we have further breakdowns on what the expenses are. In other words, the 526,000. And what that consists of, but for a basic fund and the budget document, this is what we're recommending. And so you ready to answer any questions?
There's no contingency above and beyond that $1 million.
650.
There's no contingency for the fund itself above and beyond that $1 million.
No.
But you're carrying in $1,243,000.
Yes, as part of the resources and then the expenses so associated with
basically
it.
Basically, you had 243 as contingency from this year.
The extra amount, it's very confusing to me, and it is possible that when all of this is audited and presented to you next November, that we will have come into the room tax fund with more than we're indicating here. The actual carry forward will be the $1 million plus the 328. However, the 328 to me is a phantom. It is an expense account that has been budgeted for reasons I don't fully understand, and I'm not sure that the people who budgeted them understood anyhow. But you'll notice that you've got down below reserve for future capital, where it properly belongs, even though there's no number, and that's the number above contingency, and a reserve for future capital up in revenues. That's rather unprecedented in my experience, and so being conservative, I have simply ignored that. But you're right, Mr. Mayor. We may have more money coming in than I'm indicating here, but the conservative point of view to me was, let's assume that it's the $1,243,000. That's our best estimate on the beginning fund balance and leave it at that.
Very good. All right.
So you don't have any, the devil's in the details here in the professional and technical services and operating expenses.
We do have that broken down. Here. We do have it broken down for the major users of that, but of course, various parties, organizations, stuff never show up in the budget document, but we have broken it down. And as best I know, Jim, they're all the same amounts as they were this year.
So you're keeping Chamber of Commerce
at 150.
OCCA contract,
yes.
Flat.
Yeah, they're all in there, 526 or the 526 and parts of the 195, yes.
So we need to see those details.
Well, I might have them right here.
Yeah, it'd be nice to know. We're not going to have.
Let me. I either have them here.
What do we know about
the? Enough time tonight, but we'd like to see those next week.
Oh, I can do that.
And continue this discussion. I have a request before we adjourn tonight. I'm wondering on our next meeting if it's possible that we could meet on Monday, a week from today.
It's a holiday, isn't it?
All right, well, I have a 5:40 flight on Wednesday morning. That's going to be a lot of fun. And there's no way to get there, so I have to drive, and it's wonderful. But we can't do it. All right, we're going to set the... unfortunately, we have a holiday, so Jim doesn't have to work, so we won't intrude on that holiday. And we'll meet on Tuesday next at 6 o'clock in the evening, and we'll have a revised agenda, and we're moving along fine. We're right on schedule, and we should be able to wrap it up next week, I would hope, unless we have some... Could we meet earlier next Tuesday?
No.
All right, Doc, I'll remember that next time.
Barrier. Let's try to do it 4, 3, 5 a.m.?
All right, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
I work by myself. I don't work half time. Half time means 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Half time. But I get to choose what. Most of those.